Okay. So I printed out the sheets from the Moreno curriculum on Sarah last week because I wasn't 100% sure, and I'm still not 100% sure that we won't have several days of this year in Bidud, and as it is, we have some guys who are sick and God knows with what. We're just going to say that they're fine. But, you know. So I printed it out so that you have the guiding questions. I know they're in Hebrew, but it's modern Hebrew, and this way, you know, everything is sort of organized thematically. In case people are in Bidud at different points, this will hopefully be helpful. If not, we can switch. So we talked about, for the last week, the Isser of measuring and selling with measurements. And we talked about, is that an Isser of Kedusha, which was the minority view of the Grav, Bizet and Kachim, or what most people think is a derivative of Schora. So we've come back to this several times. Schora. So where does it come from? What is it? So what we're going to do is we're going to try to learn the sugya as a sugya. There is a lot of Bavli on it, and we will come back to the Rishami and the Seven Perek. Okay, but we're going to try to understand this Isser Schora. So in the Gemara, in the Bavli, it is quite clear. And it goes, as you have here right at the beginning, HaTorah Amra Le'ochla V'lo L'Schora, right? So just make sure you have the sheet, right? You must eat it, and not for produce, for merchandise, not for business. Okay? So what do you think, right? What exactly is the nature of this prohibition, which in some way, shape, or form is agreed upon by everybody? What is the nature of the Isser Schora?
It's not considered eating it.
It's not eating it. Good. So what does that mean? It's not eating it. Thank you. What if I sell it to Shlomo to eat?
You haven't fulfilled your obligation of eating it.
Okay. So Josh wants to say it's a function of the fact you have a mitzvah to eat, and if you sell it, you're not eating it.
Yeah.
Okay.
The basic approach is that you're not treating it like it's not treating it, yeah.
Okay, good. So Ellie says, no, it's not just a bitul of achila. It's achila itself stands in for something. Now, the nafka mina, good, right. So the nafka mina here, that Josh, in order to even say what Josh wants to say, you have to take a very strong view of the Ramban. There's a mitzvah to eat. Only eat. Nothing else but eat. Right? And you do anything else with it, and you have violated that. So one of those manifestations is hefted. One of them is chora. One of them, right, etc. Now, the kasha on Josh is obviously going to be, then why are you allowed to sometimes sell it? Right? So then Josh will come up with a teretz. Okay, well, as we'll see, a classic case in which you're allowed to sell it is when you collected it to eat, and then you have a surplus, so then you can sell it off at a lower price. I mean, that's still for eating, because, like, you know, you picked it for eating.
And it's going to be hefted then.
Right, or something like that, and then it's not going to be hefted, and right, now you're weighing hefted versus somebody else eating, and you're just making money of it, and fundamentally it is for achila. Right? But Josh, one way or the other, is saying that la'achol l'schora is exactly as it sounds. You have a mitzvah to eat it, and only eat it. And even if you're selling it for someone to eat it, that's a problem because you are selling it. Eli says, no. We've talked about that la'achol might not mean a mitzvah. La'achol might mean you have a hetera to eat it. It might mean you have a chiyuv to express the fact that it is hefker, and there's a hetera to eat it. And really, the focus isn't just that you eat it, but that everybody can eat it. Right? If you take something like that, so then Eli points out correctly that you could interpret l'achol l'schora as not a problem of eating, but it's a problem that you are not eating it with the proper perspective of it being hefker, of being ownerless, because now you're selling it. Eating it, you could eat it from a vantage point of hefker. That's fine. But to sell it, that's an expression of vilus, right? That's an expression of ownership. Right, and that's a problem. So the way he would read the words la'achla v'lohefsed is you can eat it as part of the gansa oilam, or as part of the whole wide world who's allowed to eat it. That's fine, because then you're not expressing ownership. But what you can't do is express ownership, sora. Right? We're going to see many different formulations of it, right? Among them are going to be formulations like this. But what we're going to have to do is, as we go through the sugya, not only are we going to have to explain the Isser, but we're going to have to explain, as I sort of ran through quickly with Josh's explanation, the exceptions. Right? I probably mentioned this to you before, but one of my I think to this day, one of the most helpful formulations I heard about Lomdus was from Ray Tarrigan when I was in Shana Aleph, which was, now that I'm reading the history of the American comics, it's more resonant, was in order to understand Superman, you need to study kryptonite, right? And there's a lot of truth to that, right? Sometimes the way to understand a principle is to understand what undermines it, right? So for Josh, that's definitely going to be true, right? Because for Josh... Right, meaning, right, if you say that the rule is like Josh, L'achlo l'schora means you must eat it and not do merchandise, so then, as I said, he's going to run into problems with the cases in which you are allowed to sell it. Right? And then he's going to have to figure out, well, what is it about those cases that make them not a normal violation of schora, and will shed light on what he thinks schora is and what he thinks achila is. And same for you, right? Is if you think that expressing bilus is problematic, so why is it sometimes you're allowed to do it? Right? And by carving out the exceptions, we'll understand what the underlying principle is more, right? So we have to start with the broad swath, right? The broad sweeping statements of what this principle is. But if we want to really understand the actual nature of it, we're also going to have to somehow carve out the exceptions and figure out how they work conceptually. Okay. Now, I don't know if you remember this, but we actually have touched on some of the the cases, at least in the Bavli, the Mishnah, and then in the Bavli, of the classic prohibitions of Skora. So if you remember, we spent a long time on the status of Eitzim. Remember that? And do you remember how do we get into that? Lulav, right? The Gemara has a discussion of Lulav. Right. Now in that same sugya, right, if you look at the Mishnah here, the Mishnah had said, Alokeh lulav mechavero b'shvi'it, notin lo etrog v'matana. Right, assuming that a lulav is Eitzim, which is what the Mishnah is assuming, that's what we got into it. So if you buy the Arba Minim in Sukkot, so how are you going to do it? Obviously the etrog is a fruit, so the Mishnah suggests that you buy the lulav and you throw in the etrog for good measure. The fish ain't reshai the local b'shvi'it, because you're not allowed to buy the etrog if it's kadosh because you shat shvi'i. What? Correct. The lulav you sell. No. It's that when you buy the arba minim, right? You buy the lulav and get the etrog as part of the deal. Okay. So then the Gemara says, "Lo rata litin lo bimatana." And I'm just following the sources here. What if the seller doesn't want to? So amar avuna mivlele dme etrog belulav. So instead, you rely on havla'a. What's havla'a? Right. So it means something like swallowing up the price of the etrog and the lulav. Right. Exactly. Right. Now we're going to have to figure out exactly what it means. So then the Gemara says, what? Good, good. So it sounds like that is v'di'eved. Very good. So then the Gemara continues and says, v'leitiv le'behedya. Why don't you just give it to him? L'fi she'ein mosrin d'mei per shvi'et l'ama oretz. So he says, why aren't you allowed to sell the etrog? So he says, because you can't give money of per shvi'et to an ama oretz. D'tanya in mosrin d'mei per shvi'et l'ama oretz. Yoter mi'vazon shalosh shudo. You can never give the money of per shvi'et to an ama oretz if it's more than the amount of three meals. And if you do, you need to redeem the money on fruit that you have in your house, and eat the fruit in your house. Right. So now, just these few lines in the Gemara already, right, show us some kryptonite, right? Because it starts off, and it makes a lot of sense, right? The Gemara starts off very simple, which is, we've said, Lulav is Eitzim, which we're assuming for the moment, that's the assumption in this Gemara, is that Eitzim are not kadosh v'kedusha shvi'it. An etrog, as I checked, is a fruit, and therefore it is food, not something you want to eat, but definitely edible, right? You can make etrog jelly or etrog liqueur, right? Or whatever. You can do it. I don't know if you've done it. Have you done it? You've done it. If you haven't done it, you've seen the people who the second everyone's throwing out their lulav and esrog go and collect like 100 esrogim to make esrog jelly. No, you've never seen people do this.
I've never heard about it.
Really? Okay, it's a bit of a pain in the neck because esrog, like when you actually taste it, like imagine a lemon times 50 in terms of bitterness, and also the skin is very thick. There isn't that much in it. So you need to like take like 100 esrogim and then add like 7 pounds of sugar for every esrog, and that's like that's basically what it is. I remember my son Olive, one of my chavrusas, made liqueur, which is much less labor intensive. Like you cut up a bunch of it, put it in vodka, leave it for 6 months, you know, and add sugar, right? I don't remember it being so good. I don't even know if I had it or just smelled it and like. Vodka, yes, love vodka, that's disgusting, but whatever, love, what, no, I'm fine, I'm under this thing, yeah, stickle, it's fine, I am well dressed, I have all my clothes from Toronto on,
the Russian outfit,
I do. You know, including multiple layers. You know, Baruch Hashem for what I have from walking to shul in the negative 35 temperature on Shabbos. Those are the worst. But yeah, no, I have all my. Don't worry. Oro was like, you know, you remember this? I used to even during these really bad things. I would have even when I didn't. You know, even when I drove to Or Chaim, I used to walk to Rai Tertiner's and get a ride with him. So even on those, you know, negative 20 mornings, I would walk the 7-8 minutes to Rai Tertiner's to get a ride.
Why?
What?
Why?
Because Ari needed the car. We had one car. Sometimes I would meet him on the corner, right? But, like, you know Rai Tertiner. He's like, right? He's like, his life runs on, it's like clockwork. Right? No, I was talking to you guys. He like, everything runs like clockwork, so, like, for him to go out of his way for a minute, right, can throw you off. So, like, I would, you know, I went to Roy Spitz. Roy Spitz was not like that, and he would pick me up, right? But if, like, Roy Spitz was sick or something, last minute, I'd tell, you know, everything's planned to the second, you know. So, so I know how to walk in the cold. I'm fine. Fine. But you come to the Gemara. So, first of all, right? The beginning makes sense. Fine. You can't buy an esrog. It's a fruit, right? It's edible, sort of. I mean, sort of. I mean, not great, but, you know, it's food. I mean, it's food more than a lulav is food, right? Yeah. I mean, sure. Right? Look, if you were eating a esrog, feel like that's a bit bitter, they probably wouldn't say, they probably wouldn't commit you as if, you know, you were chewing on a lulav, right? Right, if you told them an esrog is food, you'd say, you like bitter food. If they said, this is food, you know, it'd be like, are you okay? Right, do you have corona? You've lost your sense of taste? It doesn't matter what you're consuming, right? Right? You know, this is like the thing, right? Like, I had one friend, he had corona last year, and he made a little, 15-second video for everyone's entertainment of him, you know, having lost his sense of taste and smell and just eating onions like an apple, you know, like it is Johnny Lipser. He would, right? He had corona again last week, but didn't that this time it was much more mild, so he didn't do that. So what? I think at the mall. I believe at the mall, right? The mall. Yeah. So the, like, Judaica, the mall. Okay. So the Gemara at the beginning, I sort of understand, which is, okay, if I'm buying the Abramin, buy the Lulav, and then, you know, the guy should be nice and give you an esrog as a gift, right? That, so far, does not qualify as any kryptonite here. I mean, okay. But then the next line in the Gemara is chaos. When the Gemara says, what if he doesn't want to? So be Mavliya. Okay, what does Mavliya mean? Right, so you raise it, right, so normally it means something like you raise the rice of the love and swallow it up. Now, what does that mean? Right? There are two ways you could take that. One is, good. Very good. So one is to say, what the Gemara is telling you is you're really allowed to sell an etrog as long as you don't pay specifically for it. Right?
You're allowed to hire somebody.
Very good. So
hiring them for a 7-day week.
Very, very good. So Eli says, well, you got to compare it to the other kids where we know we have Havla, which is Shabbos. Now, the problem is that there's two very different ways you could take Havla here, okay? One is the way he's taking it, which is really, what are you paying? Right? Here's the problem with the Gemara's question. When you say that you are allowed to sell it to Havla, do you mean that, A, you are really paying for the etros, but you're allowed to pay for an etrog as long as you don't pay for it by itself. You do it behavla, right? That's possibility one. What's the other possibility? Correct. The possibility two is, no, you're not allowed to do it. What you're allowed to do is charge more for the lulav. I mean, what are you doing? What? So the question is, right?
It's just a very expensive lulav.
Right. So the question is, which does it mean here, and which does it mean on Shabbos, and are they the same? Right?
How are those things that he said we can take for this, for here, how are those two different?
Right. So again, one possibility is that what it means is that you're really paying for the etrog, right? But you're allowed to even pay for the etrog as long as you don't pay for it directly,
so
right?
So whether or not we're saying there's no...
Correct. Right, or are we saying, no, you're not allowed to do that, right? I understand that it seems like it's a legal fiction. It is, but it's an important legal fiction, right? Meaning, is it what you're doing? There are two ways of conceptualizing what you're doing. One is that it's not a legal fiction. You're allowed to pay for the estrog. You just can't pay for it by itself, so what you do is you're paying for the arba minim, right?
You have to buy the estrog. You were saying you have to buy it as part of a unit.
Correct. The other is to say, no, you're not buying as a unit. What the Gemara is saying, when the Gemara's starting position was, you're not allowed to buy a estrog. What are you allowed to do?
To
give it as a gift. What if the guy doesn't want to give it to you as a gift? Incentivize him to gift it to you by paying him, right? The unit. Correct.
And in this case, I am buying your lulav for such a large amount of money.
That you'll happily gift me your answer. Right. Yeah. So that's the question, right? That which fiction are we going with, right? It's not clear, right? The Gemara says you're mavliya, but the question is the Gemara now introducing a kryptonite, which is you are allowed to buy Perot Shviya. The only thing you're not allowed to do during Perot Shviya is buy it by itself, right? In which case, we now have a kryptonite we need to study. Right, possibility one. Or what's the other possibility? The Gemara has not reneged at all on this absolute isser to sell Perot Shviya. What has it done?
It's
just allowed you to incentivize him to give you a gift. Right? No. I understand you don't want to give me a gift. But how much do I have to give you for that lulav, I know it sounds crazy, but it's not, right? Like, I remember when I used to go and buy jewelry for Ored, like the, real jewelry stores in Toronto, right? They have, some of them will have, like, candy there, right? For either you, well, to keep you busy, sucking candy or something, or in case you come with your kids, so that they'll be calm, so you'll stay there a little bit longer, right? That really is not a case of havla, right? That really is you're paying for the diamond, right? Elamai, if they want you to buy a diamond, they want to keep you around, they want to keep the kids calm enough that you can actually look, and they have an extra 10, 15 minutes to convince you to buy this, ever so... slightly more expensive jewelry.
That's not what
so it could be that that's what it is. That it's not you're paying for the estrog. You're like, you don't want to give me a gift? Fine. I was going to pay you $100 for the lulav. What if I pay you $500 for the lulav? Would you give me the estrog as a present if I buy the $500 lulav? And the answer might be, I think I could part. I could give you a parting gift of an estrog if,
Buy one for the price of two and get an extra one free.
Right. I mean, one way of understanding Havla is, right, buy two for the price of one, right, or buy two for the price of two, right? But you're buying a lulav, right? The other is, no, buy one, meaning the lulav, for the price of some exaggerated price that incentivizes the person who didn't before want to gift you an esrog to now gift you an esrog, right? Those are two different, right? Those are two different conceptualizations. One of them is saying, one of them is essentially saying, no, what we said is that there really is an esrog score. You can't buy parish fiat. What are you allowed to do?
You're allowed
to incentivize the guy to give you a gift, but you're not allowed to pay for the esrog at all. Right, you can incentivize him. Correct.
And in the other case,
you're actually allowed to buy them as long as you don't buy it by itself.
You're not purchasing it, you're purchasing a bundle of that.
Exactly. Right? And one of those, right, the one where you're incentivizing to give you a gift doesn't change the Esrog Torah. Because all you're doing is you're saying, you don't feel like giving me an Esrog, fine, I will buy the lulav at such a high price that you will feel like you want to give it to me.
In that case, I should say, I mean, if when it comes to this Esrog Torah thing, we're willing, like, the whole thing with that second interpretation of Allah, the gift of Allah, instead of the bundle of Allah, it's
usually
that would be gifted, but we're kind of like turning a blind eye to...
Right, so that's...
It's like loophole.
Correct, but it is a loophole, but the gift havla'ah still maintains the idea that it's forbidden to sell paratriot. The bundling conceptualization has now created one counterpoint, which is it's usher to sell unless you sell it as part of a bundle.
To sell
paratriot as part of a deal. Right, right. So that, and that matters. Well, yes, because it's going to matter in terms of how we understand it, and we'll see, right? We'll see, right? But let's just put the evidence, we have to see the evidence we have on the table, right? Okay. Now, there is, before we even move on from this Gemara, there's something else which is very odd in the Gemara, and that is, that what does the Gemara say? The reason is that you're not allowed to, right, the Gemara here introduces a problem, which is why can't you just sell the etrog? What should the Gemara have answered? Lacha lo sora. What does it answer? Lefisha in motion de be perish fiat lam aretz. You're not allowed to give the money of shvita to am aretz. What's the problem? So now we have to ask another methodological question. One is, when you have two different explanations for sora, so now what do you need to do? For the iser selling, right? Now you either need to do A is B, B is, right? A equals B, B equals C, A equals C, which is, right? Which is, they're all the same. And in some way, the Isser Sora and Ein Mosrin Dmei Peret Shviat Lama Aretz are the same, right? Or what do you need to do? Explain why in this case, for some reason, Isser Sora didn't apply, and nevertheless it's Usser because Ein Mosrin Dmei Peret Shviat. Right, so just from these three lines in the Mishnah and the Gemara, we have a lot of questions that we need to answer about the notion of Perot Shviat, okay? So let's start with Rashi. Rashi says as follows. Rashi is going to, first of all, going to do A equals B, B equals C, A equals C. Okay? Good? So here is going to be model one. So Ein Mosrin, right, Rashi the bottom of the page. Ein Mosrin, the Mei Tera, the Chulet. Da Torah Amra La'achla Velo L'Chora. So right off the bat, he tells you, is Ein Mosrin, the Mei Tera, Shviat, Lama Aretz, a separate reason or the same as just La'achla L'Chora? Same, right? Same. Good. Now why? In what way are these the same, and what does this tell us about the Yisr? It says, Shekol Tera Shviat, Chayavin Lehit Ba'er, Bishvi'it, Hain ud mehen.
All the converted sheep must be used up on sheep and the money exchange.
Very good.
Where do you get the money from that?
Oh, 1 second. Let me just read Rashi once. Below she'atven schorata latznia lachar shviat lashir. And not that you should hoard the money to become rich afterwards. Va'ame ha'aretz chasudin alkach, and ha'aretz are suspect about this. Lefichach ein moslem damim, likach ven klum bidamim, and everyone give them money to buy, dika avar alifne ira alidin michshol. Right? So Rashi now says a whole bunch of things that leave everybody to stare at him and say, what? Everyone looked at Rashi and says, I'm sorry. There are so many things I don't understand in the words you just said, right? What did he just say? He said, first of all, he equated, let's just go through it. First of all, he equated the achol lo schara with amos and demei be'er shvi'ah. Then he says, well, he didn't equate it yet with lifnei be'er. Wait. Then he says, right, shekel, now this seems to explain what? The iser schara, right, seems. And what does he say? So does he say what Josh says? That it's a kiyum of la'achla?
No.
Does it say what Eli says, that it shouldn't be hefker?
No.
No, that it has to be hefker? No. What does he say? Because there's a different mitzvah that we haven't even learned about in Shviyat, which is called beer pair Shviyat. What is beer pair Shviyat? So that the halacha is that as long as they're payrot in the field, you're allowed to collect it and eat it. But when it runs out in the field, what's the halacha? You have to levire it. What does levire it mean? So as I mentioned in brief, it's a machloket rishonim, whether it means destroy or, no, not use up. Put it back in the field, clear it out of your house for other people to take again. Right? Rehefter it. Right? Rehefter it. Okay? I coined the phrase. Rehefter it. Okay? Rehefter it. So he says, la'achol zchara, why? Because there's a mitzvah of biur, not just for the fruit of Shviyat, but for the money. And why shouldn't you do business? Because if you do business, then the money will be saved. And if you save it and give it to an Amah Ored, when it comes time to do biur, they're not going to do it. Now, exactly. Now everybody looks in this Rashi and says, okay, there's like seven things in this Rashi, seven moving pieces, and I have no idea what any of them mean, right? Meaning, how did we get from Lachlo? First of all, Lachlo's Torah sounds like its own Isser. Why did you just tell me it's not its own Isser? What does that have to do with Moshe Be'er Shvi'ah? What does that have to do with beer? Why is a non-Amaris better? So what, if I sell it to a non-Amaris that I'm allowed to sell during Shemitah because he will do beer? Like, if I sell it to a good firm person and say, listen, by this apple is subject to beer on this date, either finish eating it by then or destroy it or get it in the street, then it's fine. I mean, what are you talking about? And it's not even just the money, the payroll you're worried about, you're worried about money. I mean, there's so many factors here, right? So what does he mean? And then there's another problem, which is not only does nothing that Rashi said seem to make sense, right? If I ask you, Lachlo Laskar, is it Darais or Darabanan? What would you have said?
Darabanan.
What would you have said?
I would have said
Darais. I would have said Darais, that's a pasuk, Lachlo Laskar. Right? Rashi says, Lachlo Laskar, Gzera, you might, da 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 da, which makes it sound like it's either Dirabanan or this weird category that we every so often see called Zera D'Oraisa, which is when the Torah itself set up Siagim for other D'Oraisas, right? So Rabbi Yosef Engel has a whole piece where he goes through different things which he thinks are Siagim D'Oraisa, like Bal Yira, Bal Yimase. Right? He says the Isser to own Chametz is a biblical Zera from eating Chametz, right? That's the way he understands it. Okay? So literally everything here sounds bizarre. So what does he mean? Now Tosfos already jumps on him, right? So he skips. Tosfos then says, the Kasha. Wait a second, what do you mean to tell me? Dim kein lishuru kol otan ditznan mesachat shviyat, sheyesh lan shviyat enlan biyar. He says, okay, the Gemara, the Mishnah rather, in Perek Zion, says there are certain types of produce that don't have a chiyuv biyar. They never run out of the field, there's no chiyuv biyar. So he says, aha. So according to Rashi, does that mean if Amos and Peretzvit is equivalent to Achol Hefsim, which itself is just a Gzera Atu Biur, so then anything which is no problem with Biur, what's the halacha? There's no problem with Schara, is that what you're telling me? Ubehed Yabarach Mishmaitin, Iach Ilulavain Bo Biur, Dimitkayimu, Bekasar Limser Dama Bama Aret, right? And he says, this doesn't seem to make sense, going on later on in what we talked about with Lulav. So one possibility is to say, so as I once heard from
from a jachter, right? A very helpful phrase, which is one man's reductio ad absurdum is another man's inachiyami, right? Right, meaning what one person thinks is absolutely impossible, they cannot be, is another person's. Yes, that's what I think. So the Bnei Yeshua looked at his question, and what did he say? This side of my body is getting wet, this side is not, so I'm moving my wallet to this side. Right? What did he say?
I'm fine, I'm good.
Right, so what did he say? Bnei Yeshua says, what's your problem? Right, he says, oh, hacha diktani vehedya she'en lehenu d'mein bihar, lekach mefarish rashi she'asu l'tva bahen. V'hainu v'pnei de'en midbar v'zman ha'bihor. V'hada mazik rashi da'ayin yiskora near the rashi l'tamei sheperish kam upon him the time of yiskora and nanu v'nei shetarach l'bar v'zman ha'bihor. He brings a case without getting to exactly the case, but he says in Chani, rashi will hold that anything that falls in the category of not having bihor, what's the halacha? There's no Isra Tzara, right? That's it. Exactly right. He says, right? He just goes to Rashi and he says, you want to know what Isra Tzara is? Well, Isra Tzara seems to be equated with most and Damim with Ereshkiyot, right? Rashi the Lam Aret. Rashi says, well, why is that the case? Because, really, there's no such thing as Isra Tzara. The only thing that there is you must make sure that your Mivayer Pereshkiyot is the right. Who saw this one coming? Right? Rashi says, what you have to do is make sure you're going to be Mavar Pereshviyat. If you sell it, now you can't be guaranteed that you will be Mavar Pereshviyat because you've now given it over to someone who might not be Mavar Pereshviyat. So what if there's only a beer? Okay, no problem. Then there's no Ishkara. So according to him, now there's no problem whatsoever. Now, why in God's name would Rashi say something like this? Right, why would you say something like this? Right, why according to Rashi does he seem to, right, now you tell me, why according to Rashi does he seem to, at least as Bnei Yeshua does it, pretend that Isra Tzara really isn't a thing, right? Isra Tzara is just another way of saying that you have to make sure that Bnei Yeshua get treated properly when it's time to be. Why would you vote him? Possibly motivate you to say that and not say something simple like what Josh said or what Ellie said. Well, so one might be, well, he's motivated by this Gemara, right? Good. Now, conceptually, why won't you say it, though? Right, like, okay, so what conceptualization would Rashi have if he really thinks you're allowed to sell it as long as you make sure you treat it properly? Right, but that doesn't treat it as hefker, right? I think Rashi's going to have to walk away from that, right? I think what Ellie says, Rashi's going to have to walk away from it from you said, right? Meaning, if it's about hefker, this shouldn't help. But you said something else, but what might it be? Oh, so I knew Josh was going to say that, but Ellie was about to say something else, right? Well, you sort of swallowed it. But okay, I'll say what Josh seems to be saying. Josh says, wait a second, I have a good defense for this, which is, I was assuming, remember I had a kasha on Josh, which was, if you think that lachol lehefsed means you have to eat it and not sell it, I said, why not? What if you're selling to someone to eat? Right? Kasha! According to Rashi, it's not a kasha. Right? Because what does Rashi think? He's about making sure that it gets eaten properly through the whole Shemitah. That's what he's like, you're right. According to Rashi, he is Josh on steroids. He says, the only thing you have to do is make sure it gets eaten, right? And when it's time to stop eating it, to stop eating it. And that's all that there is. So then you'll say, well, what about selling? Isn't that eating? So I said, well, Josh is having to defend himself. But you could have just said, well, wait a second. If I'm selling it for someone to eat, so why should the author? It's going to get eaten, just not by me, right? Oh, and Rashi says, you're right. The mitzvah is that it gets eaten, and when it's time to stop eating it, you stop eating it. Right? That's it. Schora. What does schora mean? Schora doesn't mean it's usher to sell. Why should it be usher to sell? If you're selling for someone to eat, because when they eat, it's going to get eaten. What aren't you allowed to do? Sell it to someone who you're not sure is going to treat the fruit, treat the money properly, and make sure that in the end, because what do you have to do with the money? buy food with it. And then what do you have to do with the food? Eat it, right? All Rashi is worried about is lo'achla. Make sure it gets eaten and not eaten. And what is chara? There is no such chara.
Rashi says none of the causes on the fire, make sure you know what will happen with the money.
Correct. Oh, why? Because he'll say, what's the problem? If I sell it to someone who could eat it, it's not really my problem that he doesn't eat it. What's the only problem? Listen, either. Right? I mean, fundamentally, right, what he's saying, it's not a violation of Shemitah. If I sell it to someone who could eat it, he chooses not to eat it, on Shemitah, it's not my fault because he could eat it. Right? I didn't negate the possibility of eating. What did I do? I gave it to someone who I can't trust to do it. Oh, listen, either. Right? But Rashi could just be dropping steroids, which is... it's just about eating. So what, selling is not about eating? I'm not eating, someone else is eating it. So what's the problem? Ah, you're selling to Amaret, who's not going to treat it properly. Ugh, that's the problem. Now, you don't have to come at it from Achla. You could have come at it from what I thought Ellie was about to say, which is not Hefker, but Kedusha. Right? Well, I said, when you talk about treating it properly, right, I thought you were about to say not Hefker, but treating it properly, right? But he wasn't. But okay, you could. Okay. So that's the Bnei Yeshua. Now look at the Nitziv, right? Many other people are not willing to take it, okay? Now, the Nitziv, now you'll see, Josh, I didn't give it to you because I only gave you the main sheet, but as you see that Harchavot? See where it says Harchavot? So that, there's a second file, right, called Harchavot. So, what? Expansions. Right? And as you can see there, it says, L'achol Olev said, in Dagesh al Mitzvah Ha'achila. Right? So maybe I'll come back to it. You know, I won't. First, let's just try to understand Rashi, but I'll come back to this. So hold that thought. The Nitziv says differently. He understands Rashi differently. He says, this is Nitziv in Rami Sadi. He says, Nireh, De'ein kavanat Rashi mishum mitzvot bi'ur, k'mo shevinu atos v'arbe lachar. He says, it's not like what Tosfot thought and rejected, or what the Bnei Yeshua rejected. Right? Meaning, Tosfot and Bnei Yeshua both think that Rashi really means that Skora is just about avoiding improper bi'ur. Right? Or not doing bi'ur when you should. It's just that Tosfot takes it as a reason to reject Rashi, and Bnei Yeshua takes it as a reason to accept Rashi and expand on it. The Nitziv says, this is just wrong. It's not what Rashi means. He says, "Imkain l'mayhevi amikra la'achla." He says, the simple reason he rejects this is because, then what exactly does the word la'achla mean? Right, what, right? When you say it's about bior, not food eating, so what's going on? So he says, "De'eno shayach mitzvah bior, ela hakavana, de'mitzvah hish lo yasa min apirot tachlit limitzchar ela le'achla." And this is not Josh, I'm sorry, I think this is actually Josh, right? Which is, it's not... what does la'achla mean? Eating. Not that you have to eat it, but that you have to maintain the definition of the food as that which you are relating to as food. Right? The ama, right? So yasar tachrit l'mitzchar. You shouldn't fundamentally relate to it as merchandise. El la'achla, but ama aretz choshed al zeh. And ama aretz won't do this. Or is worried that you won't. And then he's saying, if you treat it properly, right, you'll end up eating it or not doing bior. Right, so what does he say? He says bior doesn't mean bior. What does it mean? You can't sell Shemitah produce because you have to make sure that it's treated properly. Right? It's related to properly. I don't know if this is Josh. Is this Josh yet? I don't know. Right? Now, but according to him, it's still, right, according to both the Pnei, but according to the Nitziv, let's say, right, it still sounds like it's Gzeira. Right? It's Gzeira to make sure that it's eaten. Right?
Yeah.
Right? So the Pnei Yoshua, it's to make sure that it's not, that it has viewer at the proper time. According to the Nitziv, it's just, you can't sell it to someone who's not going to treat it properly. But both of them seem to believe that, according to Rashi, selling itself is not the problem as long as it's going to be treated properly. Because as long as you're being Mekayim, the proper purpose of Shemitah, that's fine. Right. The Rimi Lunil, or in the Rishonim, takes a different one. And he says,
Right, he goes further. And therefore he says, not only like the Pnei Yoshua, that it's only usur to do this if it's the type of thing that is biur. He says even something that has biur, has a chiyuv biur, if you give him such a small quantity that you know it's going to be finished before the zman biur, then you're allowed to sell it, right? So far what we've seen is that the Pnei Yeshua thinks that anything which is not chayv and biur, right, you're allowed to sell a chatchila, right? There's no isur chora. The Rimi Lunel says, as long as it's something that, right, you tell him, use it up, it's a small amount, and he can do it, there's no isur biur, right? The Netziv takes it slightly more expensively. The isur chora is to make sure that you treat it properly. Now, what's the common denominator between these three interpretations of Rashi? All of them think there isn't really such a thing as an isur chora. What there is a chiyuv to treat peiro tzviyot properly, either to ensure that they're eaten or make sure that they are your mevarid properly, and therefore they come up with different formulations. But according to all of them, isur chora isn't a real thing. Isur chora is a stand-in for a chiyuv biur, a chiyuv achila. Right? The Ritvad says no. This is crazy. Right? Rashi can't mean that, meaning all three explanations are saying that at the end of the day, chora doesn't mean chora. So he says, Mashamar Katub Lachla Hainula Hazir Shiyochal Haim O Dimeya Mikdushatri Velo Yasem Soram Shain Kidushatri no Hagid Bahan. Kigon Behemat Meya Vadim Kakoshramitab Lin Shain Elo Midbaran Kiderach Shapiro Shvi Midbaran Avalim Kor Piro Shvi Eat Bidamim or Shut Biado Kamoshi Yurtsa Vivaj in Hog Bahem Kidushatri. He says, no, there is an Isser. There's a real Isser Skora. You know when it is? Only if you sell it for something that doesn't transfer the Kiddusha. Because if you sell it and you transfer the Kiddusha, meaning, if you sell it for an Eved, then the Kiddusha disappears. If you sell it for a bagel, then what happens? And then what will happen? You'll eat the bagel, so? That's good. Right? So how does he say this? Does he think that according to Rashi there's a real Isser Skara?
Yes
and no, right? Meaning, is there a problem with selling it itself? No. What's the problem? Selling it in such a way that you won't be able to eat something that's kadosh. Right? And then he says, so why in our sugya does the Gemara talk about the problem giving to Amaret? Because what are you selling it for? Correct, with a lulav. Right? And that's why it starts bringing up Amaret. Right? Because you're worried that he's going to sell it for money, he's going to sell it for whatever. Right? So therefore, according to him, right, and therefore, according to the Ritva, it's not, now according to the Yishri Shito, is the Yisra score equivalent to Ein Moshe and Demei Perot Shviit? The first three, Pnei Yeshua Netziv and Rilu Milunil? Yes, right? Because the Yisra score doesn't exist. The Yisra score is really, make sure you don't use it improperly, right? And therefore, it's equivalent to giving it to an Amaret, because that's when it's going to be treated improperly. According to the Ritva, that's not the case, right? According to the Ritva, there is an Yisra score. When is the Yisra score? Only if you sell it for something won't be eaten, right? And therefore he's saying, but the Isra Skara will only be revealed later if you use the money not to buy food, right? I mean, according to the first three, do you violate whatever Skara is when you sell? Yes, right? It's just that Isra Skara isn't a real thing, right? According to the Ritva,
When you sold it, was there any Isra? No, because the money could be used. The only time you violate Isra right away is, according to the Ritva, is there such a thing as an Isra? Yes. When did you violate Isra? You sell it for something that's not going to be eaten. So if you sell an Isra for money, is there an Isra? No, because the money can be used to buy food. And therefore, what is the Gemara saying when it says the problem here is Ein Mosrin, the Meper Shvi at Lamaret, is that you didn't violate Sechora because you gave it for money, and the money can be used to buy a bagel. The problem is, you gave it to someone who probably is not going to buy a bagel. Right? And therefore, does he think there is a real Isra Sechora? Yes. But what's the Isra Sechora? It's not intrinsically problematic. It's a problem to remove the possibility of eating Shvi'it or its redemptive money. Okay? So now we have, right, so within Rashi, what do we have?
According to the first readout in Rashi that we saw, there is no such thing really as an Isra Sechora. What it means by the Isra Sechora is, the Isra Sechora is a Gzera, maybe Gzera D'Oraita, to make sure that you treat Teretz Shvi'it properly, either by doing Bior or in general to treat it properly, right? And therefore, Isra Sechora is equivalent to Ein Mosrin Teretz Shvi'it L'Amaretz, because if you're going to give it to someone who's actually going to treat it properly, there is no problem. Right? Because your score doesn't exist. If your score is, don't sell it in such a way that it'll be misused. Right? The Ritva comes along and says, no. There is an Isra Sechora, but Isra Sechora just means don't sell perish. It doesn't mean don't do merchandise. It means don't sell it in such a way that the kedusha will be lost. But if you sell it in such a way that you can use the money and then buy other food, then it's fine. So why is our sugya saying the problem is Ein Mosrin D'mei Perei Shvi'it L'Amaretz? Because since you're worried, it's not sugya, you're just buying it for money, and money can be used to buy food. What's the problem? You're worried that he won't. Right? So according to the first Rishita, there is no intrinsic Isra Sechora. According to the Ritva, there is an Isra Sechora, right? But this is not a violation because you're doing it for money and money can be used to buy food. But there's a secondary problem that the Amaris might not do that, right? Now according to the Ritva, you get something fascinating. Okay? And this is what
Right. Daniel points out at the bottom here, which is according to the Ritva, now we come back to Josh's point. The first three sheets seem to touch on the definition of l'achla, but the Ritva most explicitly tells you, what does he think l'achla means? Right, so look what he writes. He says, l'fi havanazu, look at it like halfway through the explanation.
Yeah.
According to Ritva, we have to understand the mitzvah to eat differently. Once every 7 years, God gives you food for no payment to all Jews. By maskir, being maskir the payroll. The point is to give the money to the community. In Cain, Ein Bayala, Kachar Peres, Shviyad, Lamira, Zambokal Acher. And that's why there's no problem in trading it for other food. Uvav, Shaper, Yisham, Shulit, Tsunah, as long as it's used for sustenance, for food, and not Mizkar Kali, not for generic business. Kamuvan, Shemem Rabot, Answer, Lamira, the Peres, Yishiro, Bokal Acher. But sometimes you can't trade, you can't barter, right? So what do you have to do? You have to trade them for money, and then the money with food. That's fine also. The goal is the point is at the end of the day, perishable will be food, directly or indirectly. The problem is only to treat it as merchandise, to sell it for getting rich. But to sell it, you can get other food mutar. Because that's within the point of Shemitah. Right? And he says, this explains, I'll skip the next paragraph, but this is going to explain a unique halacha, which is that when you sell it, the money becomes kadosh. And then there's a rule. When you sell Peretz Shvi'it, the original produce is kadosh. And then
the last thing you buy. The money becomes kadosh, and you buy food, what happens? The money is not kadosh, but the later food is kadosh. Meaning, that whole thing seems to move you towards what? Making sure that it's used for food. Right? Meaning, the kedusha itself is just a way of ensuring that you end up using it for food. Right? You just keep moving it along. Right? So what we've seen now within Rashi is three deos who say that is the Yitzhak Torah an intrinsic problem? No. There's no such thing. The only problem is that Perek Shviyi should be misused. According to that, the reason seems to be something like, there's no real problem, like, right? Like, all of these don't seem to be like Ellie, right? Which is not about, you don't have to treat it as Hefker. It's more along the Josh line, which is, you have to make sure it's eaten or used properly, right? And in various forms, the Yitzhak Torah is a Xerah to make sure that it doesn't get misused. The Ritva does think there's an intrinsic Yitzhak Torah, but he still seems to think that it's just a derivative of Achila, right? It's not about Hefker. For him, it's don't use it for merchandise in such a way that the Kedusha is lost, because then the money isn't being used for Achila. When you're selling it for money, that's legitimate. But if you're giving it to Amaris, and he's not going to use it, you have a secondary problem. But fundamentally, selling it for money is fine, because money can be used for food. Right? So according to him, there's an intrinsic interest for Kara. But again, according to all four explanations we've seen in Rashi, the common denominator is none of them think that Kara is intrinsically problematic. All of them think that in one way or another, it's a score is a derivative of the other rules, which tell you that you have to either eat or treat pater treat in a certain way. Right? That's the common denominator between all of them. Right? For the first three explanations in Rashi, it's Xera, lest someone misuse it. Right? For the Ritva, it's no. You can never, the only time you violate the score of Araita is when you lose the Kedusha, because then definitionally, the money of Peretriot is not contributing to the food process. Right? But all of them seem to think that the problem of Skorah really is, so now if we bring it back, according what motivates any of these interpretations of Rashi is the fact that there's no Isra Skorah. What is there? La'achla, la'l'Skorah. Right? That L'Skorah is just somehow contributing, directly or indirectly, to making sure that it is eaten, right? And therefore, there is no real Isra Skorah. It's Isra Skorah limited to cases in which the Skorah limits the problem of eating, right? All of this, in one way or another, is what Josh, right? It's something along the lines of Josh is saying. What we're going to see tomorrow is Eli, right? Eli is much more in line with the Rambam, right? Where the Rambam says, right, that no, right? There does seem to be an intrinsic. Oh, sorry, I skipped. No, we'll do Tosfot first, right? So now, if we just go to right, we'll see. Sorry, we'll see Tosfot. Okay, I'll give you the. What we're going to see. We're going to see Tosfot, and we're going to see the Rambam hopefully tomorrow. Tosfot is going to be a derivative of Riach Official Perla, who says. Right? Remember this? Very good. That the Chiyuv Achila, the Isra Skorah, is a derivative of Lo Tiksor. And we're going to see the Rambam, like Eli, who says, no, there's an Isra Skorah intrinsically because of the Chiyuv Hefker. Okay? So now if we just look at the summary at the top of page 4, Nisakim and Agalot, Isra Skorah Shalman, let's just summarize the scene according to Rashi. Rashi, Lipian, Siv, according to the Siv, Isra Skorah, Chal, Kol, Skorah, Per, Shvi. According to the Siv, Skorah applies to all produce, but as Xera. Right? Rosh lifnei bnei Yeshua, Rosh according to bnei Yeshua, it's Yisro Chal Rak al Yivua Shviyat Achayev Abiyur. It only applies, again it's Gzera, but it only applies to produce that you have to be Mevayer. Lefir Avinu Yonatan, Over Yisro Rakim Zorachim Lo Mevayer 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 Adam Mizvam, you only violate if, in fact, you don't fulfill the Mitzvah of Biur. And according to the Ritva, it's Yisro Chal Rak al Kinyan Vram Shinev Shur Lekayim Emek Vinei Shviyat, you only violate Chora if you can't fulfill Dinei Shviyat. Milvad Zoh, is there a Darabonon, but there's a Darabonon, Lamayit Kamod Dimei Shviyat, and Yitan Lama Aret. Okay? So again, tomorrow let's try to get... Rabbi Yehonatan actually says that if in the end of the day the money is used properly, right, and you are Mevayer it, then retroactively you didn't violate Chora. Right? So according to the Bnei Yeshua, then it says, let's say in the end of the day the money is used properly. Did you still violate the Isser Korah? Yes, meaning it's a gzerah so that it'll be used properly, but if you sell it, even at the end of the day the fear isn't borne out, you violated the gzerah. Right? According to Rian Leonil, if it doesn't get misused in the end, then retroactively, did you even violate it? No. Right? So according to Bnei Yeshua and the Nesid, Isser Korah is just a gzerah to make sure it gets treated properly. But even if it does get treated properly, you did violate. You violated the gzeira. According to Rimi Lunil, no. If your score is to make sure that you don't treat it improperly, and if it's not treated improperly, then you are reviring it. Then retroactively, you didn't violate score. Score doesn't exist, right? Score is just those who score lest you violate viewer, right? According to the Rizva, no. Right. So the Tzivin and Pnei Moshe are the Pnei Yeshua both agree. That according to to Rashi, there's a gzera of schora because you might end up misusing it. The difference is only that according to the Nesiv, it applies to all Peyer Tzviyot. According to Bnei Yeshua, it applies to all Peyer Tzviyot for which there's a Chiyuv Biur. The Ritva says something different. The Ritva says that no, Isser schora applies whenever I sell it for something that the Kedusha dissipates in the sale. Because that intrinsically prevents the parish fiat money being used for food purposes. Okay? Plus, there's a second issue, there's a banan of selling to an amaret because it's likely that he won't use the money for food, even though he could in theory, but he probably won't, and therefore it does. Right? The common denominator, according to all the positions of Rashi, is that Isser Sara is really a derivative of Achila, right? And all are in some way or another aimed either fundamentally or as a zera to making sure you eat it. What we're going to see tomorrow is, again, Tosfos and the Rambam. Tosfos is going to say, no, Isser Skora, like the Chiyuv Achila, is a derivative of the Isser of Kitzira. Okay? And the Rambam, who like Eli, is going to say that, no, Isser Skora is intrinsically problematic because it violates your Chiyuv to relate to it as
not yours.
As Hefker, right? As not yours. Okay?